The recent death of a prominent translator provoked Fresh Air book critic John Leonard to think about where readers and writers would be without the translators of the world's great literature.
Ralph Manheim died last month at age 85, and nobody made a fuss, which is shameful. Though I never met him, there are parts of Manheim all over my house. From German and French into English, he was the heroic translator of novels by Günter Grass, Louis Ferdinand Céline, Peter Handke, and Hermann Hesse, of letters from Freud and from Proust, of mystifications by Martin Heidegger. Without the Manheims, the Gregory Rabassas, the William Weavers, and the Ivan Morrises, those of us who read for a living would be lots dumber than we are. Unless, like Edmund Wilson, we are intimate with six languages, or like James Joyce can spare the time to learn Norwegian to read Ibsen in the original, we must rely on what Manheim called impersonations. Standing on the shoulders of such translators, overworked, underpaid, and unsung, we glimpse the higher singing spheres. They love literature more than creature comforts. It's amazing, really, that Terence Kilmartin should have sought to improve on Scott Moncrief's Proust, or that Richard Peviar and Larissa Volokansky took another crack at the Brothers Karamazov. And even the best translators are seldom in a position to choose their project. Long before his splendid work on the Tin Drum, Manheim had to translate Mein Kampf. Almost immediately after his magnificent job on 100 Years of Solitude, Rabassa got stuck with the banana plantation trilogy of the Guatemalan windbag Miguel Asturias. Not everything William Weaver translates from the Italian is as wonderful as Calvino, nor all that Ivan Morris renders from the Japanese as sinister as Mishima. Yes, something's lost in translation. There will always be a problematical messiness about the exchange from one culture to another of our deepest meanings, our coded identities. But the very complexity of literature exalts and complicates. We grow up on its scruple and witness. Unlike popular music, geopolitics, or the spider speak in green decimals of international currency speculation, novels make distinctions and connections. They teach us other ways to see. Through the gates of translators as gifted as Manheim, we enter other magics. We are acquainted with the deepest chords in different musics, the darkest shadow in secret arts, the finest blood threads of unknown mother tongues. From such awareness, we levitate. This is the multiculture, a republic of dreams, and not only for readers and reviewers. The mature style of Garcia Marquez is unimaginable without the translations he read in his youth of Faulkner and Flaubert. Salman Rushdie, who speaks no Spanish, is unimaginable without Marquez, not to mention the Russian Bulgakov. Toni Morrison also grew up on Marquez. Günter Grass has read Tanizaki and Carlos Fuentes. Kobo Abe was so blown away by the translation into Japanese of 100 Years of Solitude, he almost quit writing. Maxine Hong Kingston has rewritten most of the classic Chinese novels, from Dream of the Red Chamber to Journey to the West, featuring the very same Monkey King that so enthralls a Nobel laureate like Octavio Paz. And it's not just that these writers read each other in translation. Which translation they read is equally important. Garcia Marquez, for example, first read Kafka in a translation by Jorge Luis Borges. At some glorious point, what happens is more than translation. It is metamorphosis. About a whole generation of German-Jewish refugee intellectuals forced into exile by Hitler, Bernard Malamud observed, articulate as they were, the great loss was the loss of language, that they could not say what was in them to say. You have some subtle thought, and it comes out like a piece of broken bottle. Well, not while Ralph Manheim was around. I'll miss him almost every time I think or dream.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning.